In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've reached that day, finally, that we've been talking about now for about 5 weeks. And the church today asks us to reflect on what exactly it is we've done and what we have lost. And so we go back. We go back to the paradise of old. And we think about Adam and Eve, who were there as children, still learning, but yet had every single good thing that they needed. There was nothing that they wanted at all. And if they had been obedient, it would have continued that way forever. But yet we know that there was a temptation. And that temptation was, in a way that we normally don't think about what happened in the garden, to break the fast. That's essentially what they did. Because they were given this one commandment, and it was a commandment to fast. We hear about it often in the negative, because on the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that day you shall surely die. Well, that was essentially a commandment saying, you shall fast. You can have everything else you want, but of this tree, the fruit of this tree, you cannot eat. You must fast from this. And so fasting, or not fasting, became the downfall of Adam and Eve. And everything that we live in today, everything that we have inherited from them, corruption, sickness, death, mortality, all these kind of things are because of what happened. That one moment in what we call the paradise of bliss. And so what does Great Lent call us back to? It calls us back to that paradise. It says that we must begin to make that ascent slowly, oftentimes painfully, but yet we are still required to do it because we know that Christ is waiting for us in that paradise, and He's going to wait for us until that last and final day, wanting us slowly to work out our own salvation by this time being obedient to His commandments. Of course, Moses fasted. The Lord Himself fasted. In fact, after His baptism, when He went up to the mountain, fasted for 40 days and defeated the devil's 3 temptations to Him, it shows us that by fasting, we can also defeat the temptations of the devil. That's what we have to do. That is the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. And I know I say this all the time. Some of you are probably sick of hearing it. But it's very, very important that the spiritual warfare itself is something very personal. Very, very personal. And when you think of it that way, then you have more success against it. Because we're not fighting a generalized evil. We're not fighting the dark side of the force, anything like that. We're not fighting some sort of haze that just kind of sits on us and makes us feel bad. No. We're fighting supernatural beings that not only know your name, they know everything about you. They know the good that you've done. They know your weak spots. They know exactly how to tempt you in those weak spots. And most of all, they despise you. They hate you. Absolutely. When I talk about the love of God, and I say that the love of God is greater than any of us can imagine, when we think of how much we love the most beloved person in the world, and that the love of God is so far beyond that we can't even comprehend it, it's so great. This evil is the same way. This hatred is the same way. This jealousy of mankind that the fallen powers have, they want to bring you down. They know everything. They know what the season is of the church right now. They know that Lent is about to start. They know what the church does during this time. And again, as I've said so often, whether you pay any attention to Lent or not, the devil does. He knows what time of year it is, and he's coming after you whether you're prepared or not. So you better be ready, because the temptations will come. This is the season of fighting. This is the season of spiritual warfare. This is the time when we need to pay attention to what we're doing, to understand the difficulties involved, and to really fight spiritually as best we can. Fasting is one of the weapons that we use. Not a vain fast, not a change of diet. That's silliness. That's absolute silliness. No. We're fasting in order to make ourselves spiritually more aware. And that's why we deprive ourselves. Even if we can't keep the fast perfectly, very few people seem to be able to do that, especially now in this particular culture. Even if we can't do that, we have to challenge ourselves. We have to discipline ourselves to make it rigorous enough that we are challenged, yet doable enough that we don't fail every single day. This is what we need to do, my brothers and sisters, because this is the first weapon that we can put on. It's the first defense against the assaults that will surely come upon us. Of course, on this day also, as we hear in the gospel, this is also Forgiveness Sunday. Because the prerequisite to all of this, before you can enter into a fast that is something that will please God and is not hypocritical, we must forgive one another. It's absolutely imperative. As we hear in the gospel today, if you want to be forgiven by God, you have to forgive others. There's no if, and, or but about this. This is a requirement. This is something that has to be done. And many of us keep in mind so many little hidden secrets about people and places and things that have happened to us, and perhaps interpersonal disputes of some kind, or something that someone did to us at some time, or maybe doing to us now. That's got to be forgiven. It's got to be. There's no question about it. Because if you don't, it's just going to well up inside you, and it's going to be an obstacle between you and the Lord. And there's no getting around this obstacle without your assent to it. God is not going to just pull it out of the way and say, well, okay, I know you're having trouble forgiving person X over here, but look, I'll remove that for you. No problem. Just continue on. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. To become Christ-like, to put on Christ, is something that we have to work at day in, day out. If you want to be like Christ, you really have to want to be like Christ and not just say it. It's something that has to be done, has to be desired with all your might, with everything you can muster within yourself. And it starts with forgiving that other person, forgiving them from your heart. Not holding anything back, but learning to love them. Even if you may not like them, you have to love them. And the forgiveness is the first thing we do in order to achieve that love. So that's why we have this wonderful service today and the Vespers that follows immediately, where we will ask each other forgiveness. And it doesn't really matter how well you may know a person. You still have to grant them all that forgiveness for all these things which they may have done, which you may have done, because we are all part of the one body of Christ. And anything that we do sinfully in ourselves, like not forgiving someone, means that it injures the entire body. So this is a very important thing to keep in mind, a very important thing to do, because forgiveness is absolutely paramount. You must do it. And you might say, well, how? How do I forgive someone I'm having trouble with? Well, the very first thing you do is to train your body to do it. Because even if your heart is not there yet, if you are able to go to that person and say, forgive me and I forgive you, even if it may be a little insincere, the very act of saying it breaks down that wall and lets your heart become filled with the love of God, who will grant it to you because he sees that the effort that you're making. And so we must do these things, my brothers and sisters. It's very, very important. Today is the beginning of the great fast. As soon as we do the Vespers, technically we are in the great fast, into the great Lent, into really what is the best time of the year. Its glories are beyond compare if you enter into it in the right spirit. You will come out of it on the other end feeling refreshed and renewed and loving God more than you ever did But you must continue with that glory. You must continue to love God. You must continue to repent and to ask God forgiveness. We have to do that. Without repentance and forgiveness, God will not accept either from us. And so, as we start this Lent, make this day a day of complete renewal. Make it a day that is a day of refreshment. Make it a day that says, this is when I am going to turn, because I've been ignoring it for the rest of the year. Today, I'm going to turn. I'm going to repent before God. I'm going to forgive others, and I'm going to engage the Lord in the process of my salvation. Amen.